Hello, hello, happy Monday. Welcome back to Point in Mind to Head, Elevating Hairdressing, the podcast all about the art and design of hairdressing. I'm Cody. I'm a hairdresser based in Washington, D.C., and I'm here with my good friend,
Tatum, and I'm a hairdresser from Northeastern Pennsylvania.
So we've spent the last couple weeks chatting with some of our hair buddies and from kind of all up and down the East Coast, and I guess the South too, technically. Yeah. And the whole idea was hearing other people's stories and, you know, being inspired by other people's stories to be kind of empowered by our own story, as it were. So I think in just having those conversations, I had many moments where I thought, where things clicked in weird ways. And it was just like conversations we've had with people that we've known for a long time or that the two of us have worked with or whatever it is. And there were moments in each one of those that kind of, I don't know, like bounced around in my head after we had it was kind of crazy. Even though we know these people and we have these conversations fairly frequently. So,
yeah. And sometimes other things come out, or sometimes it just resonates in a different way with you. And I think that was really a really important piece of why we wanted to do this season, why we wanted to talk to other people. I think that we're in a moment where a lot of people make their lives very visible, and it's easy to relate to what they're doing, what they're accomplishing, how they're moving through their life, and maybe look at that and say, oh, shit, I've got to work on this, or I need to do this, or whatever. But we don't always take a look at where we actually are and how far we've come and relate to our own personal story. So that's why we really wanted to have a lot of different perspectives. So you feel and really digest that whatever you're doing is right, whatever you're doing is great. And we're all kind of going through different things and same things together and in different ways.
Yeah. And I think on that note, we started before we chatted with all kinds of our buddies, we put out an exercise on the second episode, I believe. You think I would know after I've spent so much time in them?
I just read the description. Yeah.
She just shows up once a week to know. But so we put out this self-discovery exercise where we asked you to list out up to three strengths, up to three weaknesses, and something in your kind of daily, weekly routine, something that happens regularly that makes you happy and something that you're not really that thrilled about that happens on a regular basis. And I want to say, first of all, like the two of us did that exercise, which I don't know, for me, it was a little like harrowing. Have to sit with it. And I think that's important because it gives you this whole little window into yourself. And what's really important that we really want to zero in on this week specifically is how to, you know, use yourself as a guideline to keep yourself on track at all times, right? So we all have moments where we kind of spiral or we get off track or we whatever. We have those moments where or the day that like I don't want to get out of bed and go to work or whatever it looks like for you. But having this awareness of yourself helps to kind of craft what your day looks like so that you are being nice to yourself. Is that what we're doing?
I think so. I'm still practicing.
Trying.
Yeah, we both did this exercise that we had put out for you all to do, and hopefully you did, and if not, there's still time. But I think for me, self-discovery is something that is ongoing, right? You always have a new layer of yourself to meet. And sometimes there are things that are really deep that you either didn't see before, or you avoided for two or three decades, or, you know, whatever. And I think it was Sam a couple episodes back who had said it's like peeling layers of an onion. And yeah, and I have this like this visual thing in my head where it's, you know, it's like a corkscrew. Like you go down and you get all the way to the core of it, and then you sit there for a moment and then you're like, "Oh, wait, got to go further." So for me this was really great because I think that after some very trying moments over the last few months, I've been ready to dig deep again. So this has been an incredible experience for me, and being able to take a look at, let's be honest, it's a lot easier to see our weaknesses and the things that we're not happy with every moment than the things that make us really happy or bring us joy and our strengths. So really putting focus on that really helped me this time around, I think, to mm-hmm. set up what my next just journey, part of my journey looks like.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of, I think that that's maybe a universal weakness right there.
Oh, for sure.
The whole, it's very easy to look at something and go, this is what's wrong with it. But it's right. hard to look at it and go, oh, this is what's working and I like this about whatever, or especially when you're talking about yourself, right?
Yes.
It's very easy to go, oh my God, I hate that, or I hate whatever, listening to the sound of my own voice for hours on end as I edit a podcast, but whatever it is. But it's taking stock of what you do like as well is important, because that helps us build our journey in a productive way, instead of constantly searching for, this is something I need to get rid of or train out of myself or whatever. You can go, you know, actually I'm very good at this, and maybe more of this just needs to be happening, or I really like when this happens and I need to make more time for this to be going on so that the other things follow suit, right? So yeah, I mean, to kind of dive in here, right? I'm very, very good at organizing and making systems and making a game plan and all of that stuff. And
that's,
I know
that's funny. That's on my weakness yeah. list.
Right. And I think this is a great thing, because we talked about this in one of the episodes where you're like, it is like maddening for things to be ultra organized for yeah, you.
It and, is.
And, yeah. And I'm just like, I sit here with my notebook that like I've numbered all the pages. I have an index in the front, so I know where to find things and all of that stuff. But I think it's,
this is what's sitting on my lap right now. Do you see all of these different things? These all have notes for the same exact thing.
Okay. But this is, I mean, that's progress or something. That's, but so, I mean, I feel like this is a perfect example of, you know, my strengths and the way that I'm going to craft the way that I have to exist, the way that I'm going to do that is going to be very different than how you do it. And that's fine, right? Mm-hmm. I don't have to be the perfect, like, Pinterest person with my pantry labeled and all of that stuff, if that's not me.
Right.
So that's like totally one of my strengths, and at a certain point, like, can become a weakness.
So that's something that's really interesting too, because a lot of a lot of our strengths and weaknesses could be the opposite thing if taken to an extreme.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So one of my strengths is I have the ability to really see and understand a lot of different perspectives, which I think has helped me in my team. I'm able to communicate with people. I'm able to understand where they're coming from. And I really can put myself in other people's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
That can also be a weakness because maybe sometimes I allow others' feelings to become before mine. But if not taken to an extreme, I think it's a really great thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's something I think society as a whole is not really great at is, you know, I'm really upset at this person in front of me at the stoplight for not going as soon as the light turned green, but there's probably a reason why.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's or whatever, like I'm really upset that my coworker did this, but there's probably something behind, you know. And that's a huge, to be able to understand that is huge.
It helps for there to not even be the moment where anger gets to enter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to organize those words.
Conflict.
Well, I mean, but then again, it's interesting because one of my weaknesses is I avoid conflict.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, if you can come at things from a place of kindness and understanding instead of anger, mm-hmm. that alleviates a lot of those issues. But there are moments where you should still be able to have some sort of informed conflict.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, challenge things that don't make sense or
that don't feel right. Yeah.
Or
it takes me, I think, too long to get to that moment. Mm-hmm. And I'm working on it.
I mean, yeah. I think so. I don't know. I'm an expert when it comes to weaknesses. I'm an expert with like bargaining with myself. which is a big one. It was interesting because I kind of was like, you know, what do you call that? Where you sit there and like, I don't know, like hit snooze 6 times and like, okay, so what we'll do is what we can do is sacrifice X, Y, or Z and get 15 more minutes or whatever. And I know that that's there. And for me, I've worked very hard on that so that I am able to take some of the bargaining out of the equation, right? In the same way that, like, you know, when my prices go up at the salon, I'm not having a, it's not a debate, it's not a discussion, it's not like the prices have gone up, period. So for me, there's a bit of that I have to listen to of like, okay, why do we feel this way? But then there's also, you have to figure out, okay, at what point does this start to have a negative impact on my life?
Right.
So, and with that, I'm able to, step one was like, put the phone alarm in the morning in a different room.
Oh, in a different room. That's a great idea. I put mine on the other side of the room, which doesn't always work still.
It's not a perfect system, but for the most part, it's like, okay, you know, I have to get up, I have to turn the alarm off. And at that point, if I need to convince myself to lay back down for another 10 minutes, we can have that conversation, but you know, let's at least give myself the space to get up and turn the alarm off first before that conversation starts happening.
Yeah.
So learning how to, you know, that's one way that I've learned how to deal with that weakness. Not necessarily that I'm a perfect human being, but you know, learning to craft your day based on like, I know I'm going to do this. I'm going to come to terms with it. Now what?
Right.
So.
You know, and that's an interesting piece of it too. Not necessarily looking at things about yourself and saying, I need to change this, but looking at it and saying, how can I manage expectations here?
Right.
This is who I am. This is who I am as a person. I would like to shift in a way that makes me feel a little better.
Yeah. And it's I think that's the key with a weakness, air quotes, right? Where it's
Right.
like, at what point is this harmful or not productive?
Right.
'Cause there's moments where it's like, okay, I'm going to, also bargain with myself over like a Sunday afternoon, like, let me read a couple more pages of, this book that I'm reading, and then I'll go have dinner or whatever. So, if I sat there the whole day and didn't eat, that's not helpful or productive or healthy or whatever. But that's not necessarily bad for me to go, okay, you know what? We're going to sit in this quiet moment a little bit longer and enjoy it a little bit longer.
Yeah.
So it's, not that every single one of my weaknesses is also great. But a lot of our weaknesses are not necessarily what make us, bad people. I don't even I don't know how to describe that one, but our weaknesses are not necessarily bad.
Right. I think that's it. I think that's how you describe it.
Something. Words. Organizing the words. I'm good at this, remember? Well, I mean, so then what's one thing that you look forward to in your day or your week?
Okay, something that makes me really happy every week. I have like my daily, I hug my son who's 13 and is not going to let me hug him for very much longer, but every week I spend Sunday morning really taking care of my plants and seeing what they need. And I don't anybody who has ever seen pictures or been in my home knows that literally every room in my house, except my son's bedroom, has live plants in it everywhere. So I really, take care of them, set aside time to repot the ones that need it, fertilize the ones that need it. And, they all need something different. So it gives me something completely outside of work and family to pay attention to and nurture. And it's something that's really taught me a lot about taking care of myself.
Because
And that's
truly,
something that really just brings me joy in my week, that I just feel like really light and airy, and I'm by myself and it's quiet, or I have music playing. Like, I make sure to not be watching the news or listening to anything, like just music or quiet, myself, my coffee, and my plants.
It's really, I think little rituals like that are so, they're so great. 'Cause then you look forward to that, right, every week. Like, oh,
Yeah.
I get to do this on Sunday and it's gonna be lovely. Or like you're dealing with whatever, your last client on a Friday, and you can at least say, you know what? On Sunday I get to do this, which is gonna be
Yep.
great.
And it's, I won't put anything else in that time.
And I think we had that conversation where I've got a really good friend that I like really good friend that I've known for 20 plus years at this point. And we completely stopped talking through the whole lockdown and everything, and we started scheduling phone dates
Yeah.
every couple weeks. And we make sure to like schedule the next one as we hang up, and everything. And it's kind of this like, I said to you, I treat this like a work meeting, because yeah. it needs to not be negotiable.
Yep.
Because it's very easy to go, okay, well, I don't need to take care of myself. I'm going to do this instead. Or
yeah.
whatever it is. It's, And giving yourself that permission to say, I'm going to spend this moment doing what I need to do for myself.
How about you? What's your moment in your day or your week or something that you really look forward to?
I definitely...
Obviously, aside from this.
That's it. This is my one thing right now. And oddly enough, you know, so Tatum and I set up this whole, as we were figuring out what life was going to look like in a quarantine situation, we did set up like a weekly point in line related call kind of offline, which turned into podcast recording and other projects and everything. And it's kind of this designated time. And it is nice because it's a side project that I feel like we had this conversation the other day as well, where it was like, if we don't carve out the time for this, we're not actually giving it a chance.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to like run ourselves ragged at the salon or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of like, you know what? No. So regardless of what my work schedule or anything looks like, I need to do this because this is a very important work project for me, whether it's a podcast or it's videos or it's class planning or whatever it is. It has weirdly been nice.
Yeah.
Because I'm always like, I have this to look forward to. It's going to be fun work. It's going to be exciting and challenging and all of these things. So to kind of get back on track, my big thing is I've got like my full well-rehearsed morning ritual before I go to work where I start taking clients at noon and I work until about 9 o'clock during the week. So I've kind of learned about myself that by the time I get home after a full day at the salon, I'm not doing much more than reheating dinner and having a shower and laying down. There's not much more energy to do anything with. So for me, I need some kind of downtime quietly by myself in my own living room. So I make sure to wake up at 7 every morning and I sit and have my coffee, I have breakfast, I sit with my newspaper, and usually put on a record in the background. And depending on what the mood calls for, it usually ends up being the same. I put on the soundtrack from American Graffiti. And it's just like, it's fine and upbeat and like, you know, nondescript and
yeah.
everything. And I sit there with my newspaper and... So that usually I spend at least an hour in that moment of just, I'm going to sit here quietly for myself. And I think just giving myself the permission to have that was very important. And then especially what I found myself doing was I started really like not looking forward to my work week at a certain point.
Yeah.
And so because I was like, oh, this means that I'm going to wake up at some nondescript time and I'm going to have to deal with this and I'm going to have to do that. And I've left this off to the last minute because I bargained with myself like, oh, I don't have to send that paperwork in until the day before. And so whatever it is, so it was like, okay, we need to find something at the beginning of the day that we look forward to, we meaning myself and the 6 people that live in my head, the 7 dwarves, whatever it is. So that was, it was again, this like, okay, how do we turn this into a good thing? And it's turned into like, I need to have that time, but it's very important. I look forward to that at the beginning of my work days during the week. So, and there's many other things like that that I've set up throughout my usual week, but that's the big one. That was a game changer.
I would imagine that's great because then it sets the tone for your day and for the week, and, you know, to have such a lovely start to the day instead of rolling out of bed and quick drinking your coffee, taking a quick shower and getting on to the day.
Right. Running into the salon with wet hair.
Right.
And it's just, and it's easy to do that. But I realized I really don't like starting my day off that way. And like the level of on that we have to be, I personally can't function just running into the salon.
Well, and, you know, running businesses, we can't function that way because we have to be prepared for whatever the rest of the world throws at us. Literally. You know, it's not just us. It's, you know, any other team member and clients, and, you know, maybe something happened with the landlord or, you know, a pipe burst or whatever. And like, if you already start the day off that way, being like rushed and frantic, then everything else is going to seem so much bigger than it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And funny enough, I've never really zoomed out quite that far.
No.
To actually go, oh, this is bigger than just, I need this moment. It's like, it keeps everything else in check.
Yeah. I mean, you do need that moment, but like, there's the why.
Yeah. Wow, thanks.
You're welcome. I went to school for psychology.
There we
Just go. Kidding. That's what I said I went to school for. I never made it to psychology class, only philosophy and art history.
I mean, technically. You tried, right? But on the same, on the same beat there, I also, partially because it usually winds up being the end of the day, the thing that I put off and hate doing more than anything is checking my mail, my physical mail. Like,
okay.
I can't stand it.
So my thing that I least look forward to is exactly that. It is checking the mail and anything that has to do with any kind of paperwork. Nothing brings me greater pain to my soul than having to do that. And right now I'm in the middle of an interview, like, you know, interviewing people, and I have 5 different email addresses for different things at the salon plus my personal one, and like having to check mail and messages and physical paperwork, any kind of paperwork, it is so painful for me. And you have to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's that thing that, you know, it's, so I have found that I have to just do it and get it over with.
Mm-hmm.
And when I pick up the mail, either at the salon or at home, I have to open it right away and deal with it. Otherwise, I'm not going to. Mm-hmm. Emails, I have to check them, open them, deal with it. Otherwise, I'm not going to.
Mm-hmm.
It is my least favorite thing. It brings me zero joy, even if it's a positive thing.
Yeah.
I'm excited to build my team. I'm excited, but I can't, like, but it's actually painful to open the emails and to go through everything.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's this weird, because every so often you get that piece of mail that you cannot deal with right away, or that, like, it literally, this for me is like literally just my physical mail, like the occasional like thing that like I can't address this right this second. And like being so used to a client is going to come in and I'm going to do X, Y, and Z and physically see a change, and it's going to be done for, even if we're in some kind of transitional process or whatever it is, like, I'm going to complete this. It is going to be out of sight for 6 weeks or whatever.
Yeah.
Where for me, it's this like, oh my God, if I get whatever, like my business license renewals, I was just in the throes of dealing with those where I'm like, I need to go find this number off of this piece of paper and I need to do that. And I can't deal with this right now. So I now have to like put this somewhere. And yeah, it's all. And that's like, that's 1% of the mail that I actually get. Right. But because of that, I've ruined the whole experience. And it's like even getting like my stimulus check, I'm like, oh, I have to go check my stupid mail to see if my stimulus check.
Seriously? Checking. You got a physical check?
Yeah. I also, going back to, I'm 90 years old.
I forgot.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting how old you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will kindly see myself off your lawn.
The last time I got money back from the IRS, I don't think they even did direct deposit at that point. So there's also that.
Confirm.
So there's no, that file was empty. So it's like, all right, we got to print off a check. Someone get out the typewriter. that was my impression of Bill at the IRS. And I think in that, I like the idea of like, just deal with it immediately and get it off your plate. Cause I will spend all of this time putting it off. And at home, I live in a condo building. So my mailbox is downstairs. Like it's a separate trip to get my mail. And by the time I go to collect it out of the mailbox, that's like 4 inches by 4 inches. It's like, I have to reach in there and like pull out, like I'm like the magician pulling the scarves out of the hat. Like this doesn't end.
Yeah, I do that sometimes too. My mailbox is not far from my front door. It's about 3 steps, but I only use my back door. So I definitely will let it go all week.
I mean, but so I feel like that's a really, I like the idea of just hearing someone say, just do something with it when you get it. Just deal with it.
Yeah.
So it's, but so I know that that's something, you know, if I start missing deadlines on things, right? If I forget to renew a license or I forget to pay a bill or whatever, that's when that becomes an issue. Mm-hmm. But also, it's taking up emotional space in my head where I'm spending the whole week dreading this activity that I just need to go do.
Cody, it's so crazy because this morning I woke up early to renew my son's health insurance because his renewal is up right now. His is on like a different timeline than mine. And I got a call reminding me like 3 weeks ago, knowing full well that I had to do this. I gathered all of the information. Every time that I like tried to log in, I was locked out. So I had to make an actual physical phone call about it. And you're so right, because this owned real estate in my head for weeks until today, which was the first opportunity that I actually had when the office was open and I was available with all of the information to be able to make this phone call. Mm-hmm. I could not wait until I could shred that piece of paper.
Yeah. And that truly is like cathartic. I would do that too. Like I finish something and I like tear up the envelope. Not the envelope. Yes. I do end up writing notes on opened envelopes a lot.
Yeah.
Weirdly. Like with all of the paper and notebooks that I have. Like that's where all
don't
of my
forget the post-its.
I feel like most of our podcast notes have happened on the backs of them. Like, I've got two here. Like, I don't even know where this came from. But
the IRS.
Right. Still need you to.
Bill.
Right. It's still in there, actually. No, I'm kidding. But so I think that that's the. It's interesting, right? To, you know, you can go online and find people that look like they have their act together, or like I can describe my morning ritual and it seems like, oh my gosh, like he's got it figured out. But in the meantime, I put my newspaper down and I'm like, I have to go check my mail today.
Yeah.
And that's what we don't see.
So that's like a really great little bow to wrap this all up in. Since like the beginning of this episode, we started talking about, you know, it's really easy to compare our lives to people that we don't really know anything about. That's why having different perspectives throughout this season was so important to us. And now here we are, like, revealing part of our process and part of our lives. And, you know, it's all just so different. And if you're doing some kind of work, it's not wrong.
Yeah, exactly. And I think I stumbled on this article this morning about Pablo Picasso's daily routine. And yes. It's, and this is, I guess, well documented. So you're not original for keeping track of a daily routine.
Right.
Whoever, Wright or Carol. But he woke up at 11 o'clock every day. So not quite noon, but 11 o'clock. He would have breakfast at 11 o'clock and then work until 3 or 4 in the morning. And obviously he had his work allowed him to do that. And there's a lot of parts there, but that was his typical routine. So there's no blueprint for what yours needs to look like, and there's no long-term, like, this will permanently be the way my life always runs. Right.
Everything is malleable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give yourself permission to make changes as you go along and see that things can be a little bit different, or you might benefit from making, you know, from shifting your schedule or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that that's really, when you're motivated by yourself is when this stuff becomes exciting.
Yeah.
When you're doing it because it's the right thing to do for you, it becomes a very different thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to go check my mail now.
That's a good idea.
I'm excited suddenly. But so we do have a parting thought for you guys again this week. And this one's cheesy. This one's from Dr. Seuss. And the places you'll go. How many times have people quoted this? But so in this quote, he says, "You have brains in your head, you have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself in any direction you choose. You're on your own and you know what you know. And you are the one who will decide where to go."
I'm going to go back to bed.
I got goosebumps for a second there saying that out loud.
I think that was like the number one like gift to give for both kindergarten and high school and college graduations.
Okay. I feel like I did have 12 copies of it kicking around at one point.
Yeah.
Dr. Seuss and his stupid wisdom. But that wasn't one of the racist books, was it?
No.
Okay.
The six racist books, I feel like nobody ever read. They were not anywhere near the most popular ones.
Okay. Cool.